Welcome, everyone, to NerdWine.com's weekly podcast called Hero Cravings, where we cover and break down all Marvel and DC TV shows, episode by episode, for you, the listener. As always, I'm your host, Tyler Haynes, with my co-host, the man himself, Chris Rivers.
Hello, everybody.
And for the very first time, we have a guest on the show, and it just happens to be my favorite guest. It is my wife, Jamie Haynes.
Yay!
Woo! Yay! First guest!
Hey, guys!
Hey, guys! Little housekeeping to start off. Don't forget to share, rate, and review this podcast on iTunes. Chris recaps Blacklist and Blindspot on purefandom.com, but Blacklist is actually taking a hiatus until January, so just Blindspot for the moment. So make sure to check out purefandom.com for his weekly recaps. And don't forget to follow all of our social media and make sure you listen to our episodes for more clues and details for the giveaway, which is actually next week, because next week is crossover. And it's going to be good. So Arrow is moving to Monday night. It's going to go right after Supergirl. And then it's going to be Flash and Legends on their normal time. So technically it's a two-night event, but four different episodes. And the trailer that they released last week, this week actually, is excellent. It definitely showing a lot of fun that's going to happen during the crossover. Can't wait. And I think they're good old Guggenheim, Kreisberg, and the other guy. Is you can tell they're feeling to it, Chris. Did you notice like a bunch of the Nazi themes, underlying themes in there?
Oh,
just
yeah.
From the trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll Guggenheim, Kreisberg, and who's the other G one? I always forget the other G one. Guggenheim, Kreisberg, Grunberg. There we go. Just combine the two. All right. All of that being said, this is our ninth official episode. Let me give you a recap of how this show is going to go down. Each week, we go through all the DC and Marvel TV episodes in order as they air. We will bring you our thoughts and reactions to every episode. And that being said, let's jump right into it. Supergirl episode 307, Wake Up. We're back from Midvale, back from the fun Smallville-esque episode. And we jump into it with Sam, which is Supermom as I call her, is testing her powers pretty much. Her and Ruby are in the kitchen. It looks like morning time, but I guess they're acting like it's dinner time. And she's boiling water, and she tells Ruby to go get her homework or something like that. And she shoves her hand into the boiling water and comes out unhurt. Because, you know, last week, of course, we found out she got shot, which Jamie had some plot holes with that one. How did you not notice there's a bullet in your pocket or...
No, it was more how the bullet got in her pocket. Because if you watch the recap, like when it showed her thinking about it, it like bings off of her skin and ends up in her pocket somehow. So I felt like that was...
Maybe she picked it up.
A plot hole.
Yeah, you never know. We know more further down the episode, we've got a little bit more on Sam. Because it was a Sam-heavy episode. We didn't see any of the Miss Luther in this one at all. But another, before like we get to the meat of the episode, so did you see, it was a big episode for Jean and his dad, which I am just going to call him Papa Jean, because that's just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So we saw him for the first time in 3 weeks. We found out he's just been hanging out at the DEO, not really cooped up, but they made him out to be like he's some sort of prisoner, but he's been a prisoner for, what was it, 800, 300 years, what it was? And they kind of – it was fun to seeing him talk about the brown liquid water or whatever it was.
Yes.
That relationship and how much that Jean lives the job. And he's more so like, you know, saying he – Papa Jean said that Jean is the prisoner of the DEO more so than he is. And I thought that meant a lot because he said you checked your phone and worried about the DEO 43 times, you know, just since we walked down here. Which was really good, and I felt like, you know, it was a good relationship to see how him and his dad are reacting after so long. And then, of course, at the end of it, Jean and Papa Jean move in together, get their own apartment, and Jean will not be living at the DEO anymore. So that's gonna be a lot of fun. I feel like I don't know how long Papa Jean's gonna last, because, you know, they're not gonna keep these characters around forever.
Right.
So I think they're going to kill him off at some point in time.
It was a funny little scene, though, that set all that up with where he basically asked Gwen for permission to go to the bathroom.
Right.
Apparently he's been holding it for over 3 weeks.
Yeah, okay. Because he didn't know where the bathroom was the whole time. That's rough. I didn't catch on to that. I did catch on him asking for the bathroom. I didn't think he'd be holding
it that long. Well, I thought the thing was he felt like he had to ask permission, you know, because he felt like a prisoner. So I was going into that.
So the big meat of the episode, and Chris, I know it's going to be the Alex and Maggie thing all over again, you know, with you, is Mon-El is back. We finally found the ship. We found all the pods in there. Wynn does all those diagnostics and stuff. We find out that the ship has been there for 12,000 years. So, a long time. Mon-El was in the ship. We find out that he was gone 7 years in the... It was a real weird timeline, so I'll try to break it down a little bit. He's been gone for 7 months since finale of season two. He, you know, goes into this weird portal, and he's actually, well, how many years in the future was it? It's like, he's in the 31st century. So 1,000 years. And he was living this life for 7 years without Kara and everything, and then somehow now he's back on the ship. And they cured him of his lead poison that, you know, of course, the finale of season two that he got and everything. And now here we are. He's cured. He's back. You know, Kara is extremely excited about it. He's acting a little weird just because, you know, he's been gone for so long, for 7 months. And Kara doesn't know this, that he's been gone for years. And, of course, Supergirl, being the woman that she is, did not let her guard down. She was very optimistic for the whole episode, but she definitely did not let her guard down and, you know, could see things weren't right when she first brought him back. She just wasn't playing this ditzy girl who, oh, my, you know, the love of my life is back type thing. And I thought that was really, really well writing on their part for her. Find out 7 years, they go down there. When, you know, goes because Mon-El and him were good friends last season. They try to repair the ship for the pods, and we open one pod, and it's a girl I couldn't remember her name, nor less how to type it. Erna, something like that.
She's from Titan. I remember
that. Yeah, Titan. That's the moon of Saturn, isn't it? Yeah, because he was speaking Saturnese, which is, y'all couldn't have come up with something different than Saturnese. We find out that Erna, whatever her name is his wife, which that was kind of heartbreaking for Supergirl. But I don't know. I was expecting something like that, but I figured we'd wait until after the crossover because none of the shows we talk about tonight even alluded or hinted at the crossover. Because, you know, last year with season two of Supergirl, at the very end of the episode, Barry came and said, "We need your help," to Kara, you know?
Right.
But with none of these episodes, we got even a bit of a hint. Which, considering that they're moving Arrow up to Monday, though, I feel like it's just all just going to spiral down, you know, into the crossover. Now, Chris, you had a good question here, and I kind of thought it last night, but it was late. I didn't really talk about it much. But so, if Mon-El arrived from 7 years... You know, he's been gone for 7 years, but he's been gone, you know, in the future, he's been thousands of years. How has the ship been in the bedrock for 12,000 years?
Right. Yeah, so he's been 1,000 years into the future. In the timeline he was in, he was gone 7 years, even though to Kara it was 7 months. Right. And yet the ship that he and the others were on has been in that bedrock for 12,000 years.
How are we?
How does that
doesn't add up. I don't.
Maybe
unless he was teleported, but that wouldn't make sense of how his wife got into the tube.
Well, and she's obviously from some other planet too, and you don't know who the other people are. So I feel like maybe after we come back from the crisis, we'll touch on that more. I feel like there's more to that whole episode that they can go a little deeper into, and I think we'll figure that out. I don't think it was obviously going to play into next week. But I think the week's coming, they'll have to answer some of that because that's huge plot holes that just don't make any sense.
Yeah, get them comment sections because I could go in there and type about that. I could be a comment warrior.
So the way it looks, the way it looks right now, it's almost as if they're gonna. Are they gonna say that the whole time that he was with Kara, that there was another version, a future version of him, underneath the water, asleep?
Yeah, that would have to be have a whole Legends of Tomorrow paradox type stuff going in there, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe that's where we'll get the answer. Maybe they'll mention something to the Legends and they'll
kind of cross it over and all have their own little synapses. So, and then the other cool thing, well, the other bigger part of this episode was Sam, and we got more of her origin story. We got a lot of details for her. So she goes to her adoptive mother, which they had a falling out years ago because Sam gets pregnant. And she was a teenage pregnancy, I think, 16 years old?
Oh, no, she was 18. Which
18.
It's a little bizarre to me. Your daughter's 18. She's, at that time,
yeah,
an adult. I mean, I would think you would help her get on her feet, not kick her out. But
right. But it's Southern Baptist. That was really cool. It was, we saw her when she, you know, she gets kicked out and then she goes to the classic Smallville scene. If you, I love bringing Smallville up in this show. They go out to the barn and her adoptive mother pulls the sheet off and lo and behold, there's an alien ship. Now, it didn't look like Supergirl's or Superman's, if you know, from the past, but that doesn't mean it wasn't, because my first thought was, is she from Krypton? You know, type thing, and we find out she was. Now, Jamie, you did some research while we're watching the episode, and who do you think Sam is? Because we got more of an answer at the end, but that doesn't mean things can change.
Well, I originally thought she was going to be Superwoman, which would have been interesting to put on the Supergirl show.
No, you thought it was Power Girl.
Well, I thought it was Power Girl, too.
Big Boo Power Girl.
Well, because she gets her own fortress, and the desert was always Supergirl's fortress, so I felt like it was interesting that we bring... I feel like that's going to end up being Supergirl's fortress, but right now they're playing as it rains.
Sam's,
well,
Power Mom. That's Power Mom. Super Mom's what I call her. So she goes out to the desert. She follows this crystal she gets from the ship that she was born on, which I was wondering, how are you just going to drive off and leave Ruby at her friend's house? Which, you know, they talked about it of... You know, she's mom's gonna go find herself right now, blah blah blah, and I get it, you know, and she kinda left her. I guess it was just for a day, you know. But she goes to the desert, Crystal goes into the ground, boom. Desert Fortress of Solitude. Or what was it? Fortress of, they called it her own thing. Fortress of, oh, it starts with the S too. I should have put it in the notes, but I didn't. Not Solitude. Anyways. She gets her own fortress. It's got a weird vibe, demon-y vibe to it. We find out Sam was made. So I'm pretty sure she is a mutant in her own aspect. And this random woman told her to wake up. And Sam was like, I'm not going to wake up. I'm never going to kill my daughter. Because that was the whole problem was she is titled World Killer. And she's supposed to come to destroy this world, and she was supposed to do it when she turned of age at 18 on Earth, but she had a baby, so that delayed all of her powers and all this awakening that she's going through. And we do find out she's from Krypton. She's probably a test tube baby, if you will. And they named her Rain. Now, I looked up and Googled things. Everyone does. Like, Jamie was thinking she can still become Power Girl. No, Supergirl. Superwoman. Jesus, my words. She's going to become Superwoman, which would be a flip on it, you know, because they're both... I could see Supergirl and Superwoman doing this, and that would get in the whole Lex Luthor-Superman relationship, because, you know, in Smallville and in the past, Superman and Lex Luthor became friends when they were younger, et cetera, et cetera, and then they fall out, and Lex Luthor's a big bad. That was always Smallville. That's how it always is going to happen. But, Chris, do you think that could happen with Supergirl? Because you could do Supergirl and Superwoman hiding secrets from Lena Luthor. She finds this out and wants to take this whole thing down and follow down the Luthor path.
Yeah, it's possible. I think that we're going to see one of those inner battles with Sam. Because, you know, as soon as she found out what she was supposed to be, she said... no, I'm a good person.
Right.
I wouldn't do this.
So especially like jeopardize Ruby.
I think that there you're going to get a scene at some point where she's the human side of her has to battle the world killer side of her, and
that's still just such a cool name, though. Yeah. I'd love to have that villain name. Who are you, world killer?
I think it'll come down to her daughter. I'm sure there'll be some kind of big explosive episode where she is the bad guy. She is the world killer. And it'll come down to her daughter being in front of her, asking her, like, what are you doing? This isn't you. Mm-hmm. You are. Because her daughter, you remember, was talking to her friends, thought she was like Supergirl or wanted her to be like Supergirl. Mm-hmm. So I think it'll come down to that. It'll be some kind of episode where her daughter convinces her to bring back her good side.
So is Ruby Parker Kryptonian, though?
That's a great question.
Because in the comics right now on Superman, they've got a Superman and Lois Lane have a son called Superboy, and he's half human, half Kryptonian. So like he's got a bunch of powers like Superman, but not, you know, he's human too. I think he can get hurt and stuff like that. Well,
by the way,
early numbers this week, 0.5 rating, which is steady, 1.92 million viewers, which is up 0.03 from the week before. And, of course, next week's episode is titled Crisis on Earth-X Part 1. It's going to be good. I can't wait for crossover week. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Do we need to start a pool and try and figure out exactly when Mon-El and Kara are going to get back together?
Oh, because you know they will be.
See, so I have, and I was going to go into that a little later because it's my favorite, but I think they had to do this. It kind of goes back to what we talked about before with the whole Felicity Oliver thing, how that's kind of gone that way. Green Arrow belongs with Black Canary.
Dinah Lance.
Yes, but they've had to go away from that on the show because they would lose so much of a fan base if they break up the whole Felicity. So I feel like they kind of keep having to play into putting Felicity and her back together. I don't think they wanted to go that route with Supergirl, but there's potential for that to become an issue because here you are with you have all these fans that love me and Zoe being two of them. We do love the two together. I love Kara and Mon-El together because they have great chemistry because they're
dating in real life.
So you kind of fall into that. But I think this was their way of saying, we can't put them back together. He's already moved on. It's closure. And I think the fans did need the closure so we could stop pining over him coming back and focus more on her being Supergirl and less about this love interest.
Crisis on Earth X is going to be a good filler for her to get her mind off of, oh, hey, I'm married now. let's go take on the Nazi version of myself.
I just have a feeling, though, that his new wife is going to either see what they had before and step away, or she's going to get killed, possibly by World Killer.
Oh, yes.
And that'll open up the door.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Then Chris is going to boycott the show. All right. Next episode on our lineup is The Gifted, Episode 8, Threat of Extinction. Finally, we get a glimpse back of Fenris, which is Andreas von Strucker, which is actually Andy and Lauren's, great-grandparents?
Yeah.
Which they are the siblings who, you know, get a little bit of a flashback. Not too much that is revealed, except that, you know, they're titled terrorists, they're doing all this destruction and everything, but, you know, of course, we don't know if it's justified or not, because we don't know enough about them. Just the world labeled them as terrorists. You know, of course, Polaris is still pissed at Eclipse. I get it, though. I mean, you go back to your ex-girlfriend, ex-lover, whatever you want to call her, and you enjoy torturing and killing people. And, you know, of course, Polaris is struggling with that, as would anybody. And then, last episode, we talked about the room full of mutants that Sentinel Services is going to plant into the underground to try and flush these guys out and try and take them all out. Did you notice there was no Agent Turner this episode at all?
I did.
So I think that was the first time we didn't see Agent Turner since the show started. But we pick up a new group of mutants who need refuge from this church and there was a nice pastor there who was actually, you know, hiding them and helping out the whole mutant underground. But we find out that while they were trying beginning to get them into the car and trying to transport them to the headquarters, they notice one of the people has a tattoo. And because Esme, which is a telepath in the group, read a girl's mind and says, you know, she's a traitor, some, you know, stuff like that. But my question is, they realize that they could, you know, if they didn't have Esme, you can still look at these people's arms and see the tattoo. So that's not, if you're going to plant people, at least have some sort of technology or some concealer on their arms where you can't see this tattoo.
Or maybe don't tattoo them.
That too. Yeah. It was a big gifted episode. Like, we have a lot of notes on that because a lot happened. So, you know, last week, Papa Strucker's dad, he says, was part of Trask Industries. Mm-hmm. And so that was a big thing. So Papa Strucker and Thunderbird actually go to Chattanooga, which is, you know, 3 hours from where we live, but it was 2 hours from, you know, Georgia, where they filmed The Gifted and everything. So I thought that was pretty cool. I didn't recognize any streets or anything from Chattanooga. But we find out that Papa Strucker is actually a mutant in every sense of the word, pretty much, except that he doesn't have his powers, because his dad was... he worked for Trask Industries, and he was trying to prevent history from repeating itself, basically, making sure history didn't repeat itself from his parents, or his dad and aunt, which was Andrea and Andreas, which was Fenris. So he was trying to find this power, this formula that would nullify mutant genes. And in theory, it was only for his son, because he didn't want his son to have powers and to, you know, bring all this back together. But we find out that it's hereditary. We kind of already knew that, but I think it was kind of sad that, you know, Papa Strucker didn't talk to his dad for 20 years, but it was justified because Papa Strucker was in the hospital when he was a kid, and his dad never came and visited him or anything. But we find out he was in the hospital because of the injection that he was giving him. His body was basically fighting itself, getting rid of the gene X gene. That's fun to say. So that kind of, we'll kind of break this episode apart a little weird, because Papa Strucker was a big part of the episode, and then this other thing we'll talk about is another part. But Sentinel Services finds out that, it's just kind of relevant, if you will, that Otto, which was Papa Strucker's dad, which is Andy and Lauren's grandparents, if you're following with me down through this timeline, and... How did Trask Industries come to Otto when they just happened to be at there? That Thunderbird and Papa Strucker were there. Was there anything that they mentioned, Chris, that I just didn't pay attention to, or they just randomly show up and just happen to have a full army with him?
Now, what it was is when they uncovered Chloe, the plant, they assumed that they must know about Trask.
Gotcha. So that's when they said, we're going to go to Otto.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, so we see Pulse again. We haven't seen him in a while. Otto gets killed. Pulse gets killed in the blast from Otto because, you know, Otto has powers since it's hereditary. And we got a little bit of closure with the Pulse and Otto bloodline. Kind of, sort of. Like, we get a little bit of, he says, don't let them hold, Otto tells his son, don't let them hold hands, because that's how they amplified their powers or something like that. That's how they became this terrorist group. But I don't know. And, of course, at the end of the episode, they were holding hands, but, you know, they didn't shine or anything like the flashback did. Mm. So I think, you know, they have to want to use their powers, but that was definitely what they were alluding to at the end of the episode.
Right.
All right. The other half, we get a lot of, you know, the new people coming in. Esme is a telepath, one of the kids they picked up from the church. We also get Nora, who got picked up from the church. She's got silver patches of skin. Don't really know much about her, except that she was actually at the refugee place where Blink was at, well, used to live. And she saw the whole thing happen. She's struggling because she keeps dreaming about this stuff. I don't know who Nora is or what her abilities is besides her. Don't lick her because you could get lead poisoning is what she looked like. Look, she had pencil just drawn all over her. But I don't know what her ability would be. Maybe it's just the mutant abilities could literally be anything. But I thought it was kind of weird to me at this point because Blink's big thing was Dreamer took advantage of her and did all of this, you know, put this false memories into her head, but she went to Dreamer to help Nora and take away her memories of the thing, which I get it that, you know, you want to help this kid out, but I didn't ever hear acceptance, so it could have been rape if you ask me. They didn't talk about, you know, do you want these memories gone?
Well, so they were sitting there talking to her, though. It just didn't show the conversation. So maybe they were kind of explaining to her what they could do.
Makes sense. But, and then, oh, of course, we didn't even talk about who Otto was played by. He was played by Raymond J. Barry. Did you notice who he was, Chris?
I did, yes.
He's actually from Gotham. He was like, what, 4 or 5 episodes of Gotham last season.
Yep.
So he's, which, you know, The Gift is a Fox show, and they use their actors, you know, as much as they want. And so it was kind of cool to see a Gotham reference, not really reference, but in the show. Sentinel Services, you know, oh, the drug. So Jamie had a theory here as well as far as why these mutants were helping out Trask Industries. Not so much mind control, but they're taking this drug that it's highly addictive, but it maximizes mutants' powers. And Jamie was telling me, I was like, I don't understand why they're still doing this. She goes, well, maybe it's because they have a need for this drug.
It's kind of like if you tell like somebody that's on crack or whatever that, hey, if you go steal this for me, I'll give you some more crack. Or if you go do this for me, they're going to be at your...
Because it's highly addictive. At that point, and we saw that with... What do we call it? Well, Chloe was her name. And we saw how addictive it was and how much she deterioralized because eventually it killed her. Right. Because she didn't have this running in her system. But, you know, her power was like kind of like a super speed type thing, kind of flashlight, but, you know, no one's as fast as the Flash. And we find out she had a husband and she had a kid, and then her husband got killed. And they took her in and they took the kid as well. So the kid's at Trask Industries. We find out all about Esme because Chloe can't talk for some reason. I don't know if they cut out her tongue or what that was about type thing, you know. But, you know, and we find out this drug was based off of Otto's research for, you know, Papa Strucker. So that was kind of, it all kind of like ties in together. And I really like how they do that.
One of the things I said too, that I'm wondering if this will play out in the future. So at this point, will Papa Strucker, whatever you call him, would he want to get his powers back? Is he going to try to take the drug? Because if it took his powers away at one point, this new drug enhanced does the opposite of what that drug did. So at that point, would you make a decision to say, I want my genes back that were taken from me. I want to, you know, experience this. My kids are experiencing it. And I'm obviously on this side now. I feel like I need to have a power. Or would you say, no, I don't, you know, I'm glad that I didn't have this or have to live with this. I feel like there's some room for them to play with that if they wanted to. Go down that road.
He didn't seem very happy when Otto told him what he had done.
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, it was also the fact that he was not in his life for 20 years as well. But I would feel betrayed too. Like, I could have had these kick-ass powers for 20 years of my life, and you took them away from me?
Right.
But, so, it's going to be more of a dynamic for that relationship with his kids.
It seemed interesting, too. Otto seemed to have, I think I put it in the notes, Otto seemed to have the similar power to Eclipse with light.
He could, like he put it, like he made like a big sun or a fireball, if you will, right there at the end. So I wonder if, you know, Eclipse can still be trainable to do that or something like that, you know?
Maybe it just
comes interesting with... conversation. Or it's his brother. Plot twist. Of course, and like I said earlier, the end of the episode was Andy and Lauren holding hands, obviously to the allude of Fenris and their rise to domination. So now, are we going to call them Fenris still, or are we going to call them something different?
I don't know. Now, there was something with that. There's a point where Otto is telling Reed, Papa Strucker, about Fenris. And when he uses the name, he follows it up saying the wolf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Fenris is from Norse mythology, or if you watch Thor or know about Thor or anything like that, is one. It is Loki's son.
Right. But
so Loki has a son, wolf, you know, whatever. It's mythology.
What was confusing about it is he said that's how they were referred to.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at Fenris's powers, there's nothing wolf-like about their powers.
See, I don't... Because he said they had the exact same powers as, you know, their great-grandparents and everything. Right. So what... I don't know, because shield-like... That's why he was so curious about their powers and everything, which
maybe
I get.
Maybe the wolf's more of a play on words, the fact of how they would sneak up on people or strike. Maybe yeah. of a...
More of like a... Kind of,
instinct.
Yeah.
Animal instinct.
Maybe.
Well... That's going to be played off in the next coming weeks because we were on episode eight, we said? Yeah. Yes. Then we've got four more now until 13, which is the season finale of this one. Early numbers, 0.9 rating, down 0.1 from last week. 2.90 million viewers, which is down 0.10. And then next week, well, not next week, it's next week, and it's in 2 weeks, we get Gifted, which is going to be Outfox. And that is going to be on December 4th is when this will air again. So, you know, we're skipping a Gotham episode this week, and we're going to skip Gifted next week.
Yeah, now one thing about the Gifted also, they've announced that the finale date will be January 15th, mm-hmm. and it's going to be a two-hour finale.
Oh, that's going to be really good. And Jamie doesn't keep up with the Gifted as much as the CW show, just because you think it's a ripoff of
Heroes. Yeah. I was a huge Heroes fan, and we watched the first Gifted episode, and I said, "Why am I watching Heroes all over again?"
Yeah,
I feel like so.
I mean, you know, to each their own. I guess
I'll still watch it if it's on and I'm in the room, but I can stay pretty much caught up because I feel like if I just think back to a Hero episode, I'm like, oh, I already know what's going on in Gifted. I don't need
save
to watch
the cheerleader,
the next
save the girl, save the world. Sorry.
The one thing I really love about the Gifted though are the little Easter eggs tying it back to the X-Men.
Mm-hmm. And the whole Marvel universe on top of that.
Yeah.
Because even when it is Fox, so I'm curious because didn't Disney just purchase Fox 21, which is where all of the
they purchased some of the properties. I'm not sure exactly what all went into it. But...
Because, you know, they did such a good job with Spider-Man. Next one is Flash, episode 407, Therefore I Am. This was a good one. We got, you know, of course, we got more of a DeVoe, because we were trying to figure out how he, because, you know, they mentioned in the episode, Savitar, a.k.a. Future Barry, referenced him. A lot of people have referenced DeVoe as being the Flash as one of his most notorious villains. And we sit down with the DeVos, which is the last name of these so we got Clifford DeVoe and his wife, which her name wasn't ever that important to me, but Clifford was, because that's just a funny name. That's a, you know, it's an older name. But he's a professor at Central City University. He used to go to Oxford and teach there. We got more of an origin story, because we obviously know it is DeVoe, because, you know, we get the behind-the-scenes thing. He is actually a meta, but not really a meta, because he was there at the particle explosion because, you know, he wanted to power up this helmet that would, because they say that our brain is not big enough to comprehend as much as it can. So they needed a power source. They made a helmet that would do this. That made me think of Brainiac because of the characteristics of it, but it's not. He is the thinker. We get that officially at the end of the episode. Chris and I, of course, the Google masters we are, found out that's who he was beforehand. We stopped calling him Brainiac after that. He gets his powers, gets struck by lightning just like Barry does, but his brain is so strong now that if he's not in this certain chair that we've been seeing every single episode, his body deteriorates.
Yeah, it's like ALS.
Yeah, it's ALS, but it's like it's more advanced.
Yeah.
And faster. So that was kind of cool. I was like, yeah, I mean, it's a cool superpower, but that sucks. You know, if he didn't have his wife around, he'd already be dead.
Well, and she tells him at one point in the episode that it's advancing faster than the chair can keep up with it. So
right.
Even the chair is not going to keep him alive forever.
So I wonder what, I don't, is he going to get a different chair or how are we going to, I don't know, because I mean, we're still early in the season because, you know, there's 22 episodes each season.
So, too, I was wondering, and this is just a thought, but the whole point of him ever wanting to do that was to be a better teacher. Like, if you'd be in the episode, he was aggravated because the students wouldn't listen to him or pay attention to him.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of wondering if somehow there's something he is trying to teach or make the Flash better.
Hmm. That would make sense because
his whole thing is he's setting things up to challenge him.
Mm-hmm.
It's all this challenge and everything has been a challenge up until this point. Is he trying to teach him something before he dies? Like he feels like I have all this brain power and all these smarts that are going to go to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's going to be able to inherit this. Like I need to somehow let the world in on this. I don't know. That's just kind of my...
I wonder if... Because... Now that you say that, he hasn't been trying to kill Barry or do anything to Barry. Like, even at the – because at the end of the episode, he tells Barry to have a good wedding or whatever, kind of like a smart – in a smart alecky way. And then his wife was like, are we – let them get married? So that – because, I mean, he's not even trying to break up the wedding. So that's interesting.
That was also to allow a break for Crisis X.
Yeah, of course. Yes. Instead of Crisis X.
He also foreshadows that Barry is going to be in their bedroom because when he's in the police station, he says, "What's next? You're going to break into the room where we sleep?"
Oh, yeah.
And
that's
kind of exactly what he did.
He's always a few steps ahead.
Oh, no, he's like multiple steps ahead because he said, he goes, "You know, you might be the fastest man alive, but I'm the fastest thinker alive." I was like, oh, I already like the actor who plays him. I want to look that up here in a minute. But like, did you – I got a Benedict Cumberbatch's Sherlock feel off of him. I don't know if you did, Chris, at all. But I was like, dude, you are, like, creepily smart, like, to the point that you're very extremely narcissistic and a sociopath,
which is what Sherlock is. I think it's the accent.
It's like the accent.
Yeah, that's probably the accent. For sure.
We get kind of an Easter egg with Barry. So it was a big Barry episode, and Jamie, you hated a lot of it because – of the fact that Barry is trying to prove that this guy is DeVoe because he can feel it in his being and everything like that. But everybody's like, oh, Barry, that's you're kind of going crazy type thing.
When did the team all of a sudden just not believe in
each other, for that matter?
Or the Flash. He's sitting here telling you, I have this gut. Like, this is in my gut. Like, why wouldn't you just, I don't know, why wouldn't you go into a little more with it? Everybody was so quick to say, nah, I think you're wrong.
Yeah.
You're just delusional.
I hate stuff like this because you're right. Those ties should be so strong that they say, "All right, look, we're going with you down this road because we trust you."
Yeah. If you say that it is, then it is, and we are going to do everything we can to prove it.
Right. Which has been, you know, up until this episode has been, there's nothing that would have broken that trust. I feel like, or anything that would have been like made them question it. I feel like if they would have done something a couple episodes prior that made them question this episode or made them question his thinking, but there hasn't been. So then we get to this episode and all of a sudden the team's like, no, we don't trust your thought process anymore.
He's a normal guy whose wife makes great four cheese macaroni.
Right.
Well, Cisco said it too. It looked good. Barry gets suspended for 2 weeks, which, again, I think that's going to help set up Crisis on Earth X. You know, he's not going to be tied down to his job. And then, now, Chris, and I meant to put this in the notes, but you actually put it in there before I did, or after I did. But Barry references Spider-Man.
Yeah, which was really, really weird.
So I guess Marvel is the comic books in their world? And not DC, you know what I'm saying? Because why would you reference Spider-Man?
You can't reference your...
Well, I know, but usually in shows like this, you don't even reference this kind of stuff. That would be like the Avengers referencing Superman or something like that, you know? Oh, you're faster... Or like even... it's like, you say you're faster than a speeding bullet. You know, it's kind of like Superman and the Avengers. And that would just be... That would tear down a bunch of nerds. There could be a bunch of debates about that, I'm sure. Yeah. That was kind of funny. Then Dibny was not even in the episode. And Jamie even brought that up. Because, I mean, I noticed it, but I didn't really touch on it. But isn't he supposed to be part of this team? Where was he at the whole episode? Not in there. You know, it's kind of weird.
Vacation?
They didn't even mention them. I was, you know, you're part of the episode for 2 weeks now, and but whatever.
Wally West
comes back.
I'm hoping that he was off getting fitted for a better suit.
Right?
Did we even talk to one of the guys at the comic shop about that yesterday? He's like, "Are y'all caught up?" We're like, "Oh, we're one episode behind." He goes, "Oh, but you know about Plastic Man, you know, Elongated Man." I was like, "Yeah." He goes, "What's up with this suit?"
It's horrible.
Yeah, they hopefully we'll get something better. At the end of the episode, Wally comes back. He said he's fine himself, and again sets up Crisis X again. But he did mention something, Chris. He said, you know, he was at Blue Valley. I, of course, Googled it. Nothing in DC Comics about Blue Valley. It's not important.
Oh, no, actually, isn't that where Kid Flash is from, originally? Is Blue Valley?
I mean, it depends what timeline you're... depends what you're reading. Because a lot of the times, Kid Flash is niece to Iris West. So, but he mentioned, he said... you know, just the usual, just taking down an intergalactic starfish. And I was like, wait. No. He just said that, and nobody's mentioned that in the show at all. But it's Starro. Like, he is a big Justice League villain. It is a starfish alien that can mind control people. But like, that he attaches to your face and takes control of your mind. A big Green Lantern villain, and you know, like I said, or Justice League. So that was kind of canon, but not canon. And, so, like, we didn't even see this, like, on any news station or anything. I would, because you know how well they like to put in Easter eggs and stuff from the other shows? Right. Like, I mean, I thought we would at least have an arrow.
So
they didn't even mention it.
The question is he really back, or is he being controlled?
No, well, so the starfish latches onto your face. It's not like a Gorilla Grodd type thing.
Gotcha. Spoiler alert
for the next episode. So, like, it's a big... it's a starfish that just latches onto your face.
That would be uncomfortable.
Yes. Among other things. Early numbers for this episode, 0.8 rating, down 0.2, and 2.20 million viewers, which is down 0.26 from last week. And next week's episode is Crisis on Earth X, Part 3. Again, Arrow is going to show after Supergirl. And, of course, the big thing is the wedding of Iris and Barry Allen. It's going to be a lot of fun. Next episode is Legends of Tomorrow, episode 307, and Welcome to the Jungle. And, Chris, I am pissed.
Yep, me too.
And I know we talked about it last week. And how are you going to have Welcome to the Jungle as your title and not play Welcome to the Jungle?
Well, because the new Jumanji commercial totally stole that from them.
It's not canon, Jamie. So we go to Vietnam, 1967. The anachronism is, of course, Gorilla Grodd, which I don't know when they took him from the timeline, because the last we saw Gorilla Grodd was in Flash, and he was on Earth 2 in Gorilla City. No. He came to...
I thought they put him somewhere.
Yeah, Gorilla Grodd came back to Central City. But I don't...
I thought that, but they had to put him somewhere, but I don't know if that's where they put him in the jungle, and then Vietnam started.
I don't know. Timelines are confusing, Chris.
Yeah, a little bit.
So we get a little bit more into this episode, and I think it was Haircut who was the one who referenced this, that all of these anachronisms and timelines we're going to has something to do with each of the legends. Yeah. Did you catch on to that too, Chris?
Yeah.
Because, and of course, this episode, Rory meets his father, who's a Green Beret in Vietnam. And, you know, Rory kills his dad, doesn't care that he did. He kind of did it on purpose, because of the fire. But, so we have that one. We have Ray Palmer going back to the past, the Dominator, to his younger self. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, Kawasa, it's a big family thing.
Yeah.
Stein meets his great-grandfather in Victorian London. Was it just these three so far? Was there any... I'm trying to think of if there was any more of them.
I think that's it so far.
So it's... I feel like that...
It's not Dark every episode, but it's...
Yeah, it's pretty much... I would say every other episode, maybe?
Probably,
at this point. So it's kind of... Oh, it's just something's going on with that. They kind of touched on it in the episode, but they didn't really touch on it more. Because, you know, Sarah's still in the coma from Dark's daughter. Stein lies to Jax. He says, oh, yeah, I'm getting pretty close to splitting us up type thing, which was kind of funny because he had, like, all these big, you know, theoreticists and scientists on the ship, like Isaac Newton and...
Madame Curie.
Madame Curie, and who was the other? It was another guy. That's not really important. They weren't really into the show that much. But he was kind of like the Council of Wells. But a bunch of scientists who changed the world. Amaya with Grodd, this whole episode with Grodd and everything. Grodd wants to start World War III. He wants to destroy all the humans or make them better because of the way humans treated him. Amaya has a soft spot for animals. We find out she goes, let me take you to a time before humans. So, you know, you can live your days in peace and everything. But in all reality, would Grodd want to be among just a bunch of other apes who aren't as intelligent as him? Would it give Grodd a sense of meaning? I don't think so.
Right.
But of course, you know, that doesn't ever happen. Jax, you know, saves the day, saves good old President Johnson, which has showed our history and how much Jimmy doesn't really know our history.
You didn't
add
either.
Me either. I was like, oh, look, it's Nixon. And Jimmy goes, that's Eisenhower. And it was President Johnson.
This is welcome President Johnson to
the back.
Nixon was closer.
Jax, see? Thanks. Yeah, because Eisenhower's the atomic bombs. Jesus, Jamie.
It just didn't look like Nixon, is what I was going off of. The character that had playing the part.
It didn't really look like anybody.
I'm horrible at history, so.
Mike saves the day there. Now, a big thing for this episode, and I've got some thoughts on this. So we see Rory stomps his dad from killing the group of Vietnamese people, and turncoats or traitors or whatever as he kept calling him. And of course, Rory talks to his dad. He goes, you don't want to do that. He says, because you'll have, he goes, every moment of your night, of your day, you'll be thinking of this exact moment and it will scar you for the rest of your life. Which is obviously why, you know, Rory had such a bad relationship with his dad because his dad beat him and stuff like that. But I guess from the trauma and the PTSD of Vietnam. And so Rory kind of developed more as a, I don't want to say hero, because, you know, he was a villain because of all this and a legend, but like he's starting to become more of a hero. And he realized this was the exact moment that his childhood was so bad that he stopped his dad from doing this. So yeah. That brings, but wouldn't time go forward and wouldn't that stop Rory from being Rory though? Does that make sense, Chris?
See, that's what kind of gets me about the show sometimes. Because, yeah, that would have changed Rory's childhood. It would have changed the person that he became.
That was like 2 weeks episode back with Jamie. She was like, because with Ray Palmer being the Atom for Halloween and everything, they didn't wipe the young Atom as well. So I'm like, you can be said. There's a bunch of plot holes if you like really look into it.
I mean,
it.
They could go back and say they did wipe his mind, but it was interesting to me because he would have ended up with all this confidence and probably not been the person that,
yeah, the nerdy kid
he ended
that he
up
is.
Being. But this episode, the thing with that though, in this episode with his dad, that would have never happened. They wouldn't have been in this situation. That he wouldn't have been in that situation to kill those people. So it could have been a number of things in Vietnam that made him the person he was. My dad was in Vietnam, and I know my dad was a great, great man, but he wouldn't talk. I think my whole time I've ever questioned him about anything that happened in Vietnam, and maybe he talked about it a couple of times when I would question him about it, but it wasn't even something he wanted to talk about or bring up, because people just don't, because there are things that happened over there that would be traumatizing.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see it may have not been that one circumstance, but maybe he still ended up, you know, being not a good father. Or
just
having PTSD
because
of other traumas.
It just wasn't
situations.
That certain moment in time. Mm-hmm. Well, Grodd takes telepathic control over Sarah because someone let it slip that they have a time machine. He goes, like, oh, I can fix time, is what Gorilla Grodd was thinking, you know. Gets on the wave, Ryder takes control of Sarah, but Sir Isaac Newton bumps her head. Somehow he's the only one who's still on the ship with Stein. And Grodd's supposed to plummet into a fiery cloud of napalm, but don't hold your breath because Damien Dark is still behind everything. To a point. Mollus, is that who the main big bad is again, Chris? It's always these weird names. Yeah. Just give him something normal. But
like Sam or something.
You know? Yeah, give me like a Sam. I want an evil Sam.
You do is
an
evil Sam, right?
Stop it. We're not talking. Look, she's got three different names now, Jamie. Four if you include Mom. So Grodd falls into, which is present day, by Damien Dark, by this little stone. And of course, you know, we've seen in the past episodes, this is never really touched on. But Dark says, you know, you don't need a time machine for it. We can just, whenever you think about it, we can do it with this. And he shows a little rock, the little talisman, if you will, since this season's very big on talismans and totems. And a big funny thing at the end of it was, there was a big thing about pecan pies. And LBJ, President Johnson, gives Jenks his wife's recipe for pecan pie, which was apparently like an extremely well-kept secret back in the day. And he just gave it willy-nilly to good old MP Jax.
Well, I love how he gives him that because he saved his life. Like, really, right. That's...
That's what you... Yeah, he was expecting a medal. And he gives you a recipe?
Right.
That good.
That was pretty funny how they... I love how they do have these serious moments in the show, but, like, they can always bring it back to a humorous things. Good show. All right. Early numbers, 0.5 rating, which is steady. 1.49 million viewers, which is down 0.04 from last week. And next week is Crisis on Earth X Part 4, which will be the finale of this year's crossover. And then no Gotham this week, because they are on a break because of Thanksgiving, and which leads us into Arrow Episode 607, titled Thanksgiving, because this is the first time Arrow's been on Thursday night. And, of course, Thanksgiving falls on Thursday nights every year. Mm-hmm. You know, because that's just how the world works. Mm-hmm. So we start off the episode. Oliver and family is handing out, you know, helping out with a food kitchen and, you know, bringing food to families of Star City. And he gets arrested in front of everybody. And they kind of unveiled the new police headquarters for Star City, which was kind of cool. It looked really fancy. Didn't get much into it. Other than why is Agent Watson so hell-bent on arresting Oliver and everything. I've got theories, and we'll get into that here in a second. Kane James is back. We haven't seen him in two episodes. He's back with Black Siren, trying to steal thermite. Well, steals thermites and makes a bomb. The big episode with them was we find out that Kane James is doing this because of his son. But, you know, the team looks into it. They don't find anything about his son. His son went missing. Like, it's been missing for a while. So, who is his son? And I'm sure we're going to find that out in the past. It has something to do with Oliver. Because everything in this world has something to do with Oliver. Because he's the daddy of the Arrowverse, if you will. Do you like that? Daddy. Daddy of the Arrowverse. We find that out. The referendum passes that they're all voting, that people are voting for. Which the way that it happened was kind of smart, and it brings me to my theory. So they go to court for like the first initial, I forget what that was called, for Oliver. You know what I'm talking about? The
arraignment.
Arraignment. Thank you, Chris. Always coming in clutch. They come in with the arraignment. His bond is set for $5 million, which is an obscene amount. But the FBI, because they were going to go off of the photo of Green Arrow and Oliver in the Green Arrow outfit, they're like, oh yeah, that's been debunked. And then they said the FBI actually has definitive evidence that Oliver Queen is the Green Arrow, and which makes me think that Kaden James is working with the FBI, or at least with Agent Watson, because all of this is happening together. Like, Kaden James wasn't actually going to blow up the bomb. He just wanted to talk to Oliver, let him know why he was doing this. It's because of his son. Again, nobody knows what his son is. I'm sure in 2 weeks we'll get answers for that. But it just happens to be as they were fighting the police officers in the Billy Joel concert, which was funny because Billy Joel was there, at least on that little clip. It probably just got a clip from YouTube and put it on there. So he might have actually not been on the show. He was. Just a clip from his concert. So Caden James does all of this. He gets fake cops to act as people. And someone's recording the Team Arrow beating up cops. And the referendum passes against the Anti-Vigilante Act. Passes, rather. So that just makes me think they're all working together. They have to be, because they had this picture leak, but now they have definitive evidence that he's the Arrow, and Caden James just happens to be doing all of this at the same time. No, they're working together. That's my calling. But Chris, we're gonna bring it back old school here. For all you older viewers of 3 or 4 episodes ago, remember when I was talking about Oliver? How long it was going to take for Oliver to the Green Arrow?
Yes.
It would be like 2 episodes ago. Ha. I should have said 4 weeks instead of 2 to 3. Because Oliver was Green Arrow again. Although it's not just a substitution, as he calls it. He was still the Green Arrow, and I win. We're just going to point that out there.
What do you win?
Well, anyways, we have got, and then the big part of the episode, Thea is now awake, and she is a part of Team Arrow for a little bit.
And she was hungry.
She was very, I mean, I'd be hungry too.
She had
too.
A whole turkey in front of her.
Yeah, she did. Apparently William's quite the cook.
Yeah.
This is what Oliver and Felicity said. And they're all just a big happy family. There's a bunch to catch up on, of course. But will they get time to do it before next week on Crisis on Earth X, Part 2?
Who do you think Caden James' son is or was?
I want to say we're going to have to bring it back to Lee and you, is what I want to say. Either that, or we're going to, it's going to be when he's back as his time as Arrow. Or the Hood, rather.
No, it's going to be the Hood, because it'll be somebody in town. Like, his son would have been something, some kind of hacker, or...
Chris.
What?
Is it Roy Harper?
Ooh.
Think about it.
That'd be interesting.
Roy Harper was an orphan. Never knew about his parents. And Roy Harper went missing a couple of years ago. Because remember, he was the Green Arrow. He escapes. Because he's living this other life.
Huh.
Could it be?
So now he can't find his son. Not necessarily that he's dead, but he can't find him because he's off the grid.
Is Colton Haynes making a comeback to Arrow?
Wish, but
that would be awesome. I love Colton Haynes. No relation, of course, ladies and gentlemen. Next week, Crisis on Earth X Part 2. Early numbers, 0.3 rating, down 0.2. 1.11 million viewers, which is actually only down 0.17, which is curious because this aired on Thanksgiving. So that wasn't... I was expecting more of a drop, Chris. I don't know what you were expecting, but I was expecting more of a drop.
Well, it can't drop much more, because it's...
It could, but you could always have a 500,000 drop-off. But I was expecting big numbers, but I guess it's... Because this doesn't include DVR numbers or anything yet.
Right.
But that was our last show of the week. That was weird. Arrow being the last show of the week is kind of weird. Because usually we have Gotham or Inhumans, with Inhumans gone and Gotham taking a break. Well, Chris, it's time for the fan favorite segment of the show, Douche Canoe of the Week. And Chris, you can go ahead with the honors of this one.
It's Agent Watson.
Could not agree with you more.
I mean,
for sure. She definitely makes me want to throw something through my television when she speaks. Her whole attitude and demeanor make me want
to. I get it, why she's doing it, but I mean, she has to have a personal stake in it, too, of some sort, why she wants Oliver Queen to go down. But that's what you get, Agent Watson. Douche Canoe of the Week. That's our first one, by the way. All right, Chris, favorite episode?
It was tough this week.
I agree.
There were some good ones. But it had to be The Gifted.
I like it.
And by the way...
I struggled with this one.
By the way, I know we're... Well, come back to me after everybody else, because I got some news.
Oh, that's scary. I don't like news, Chris. Chris, are you getting married?
No.
Oh. All right. My favorite episode was Legends of Tomorrow. I loved the aspect of Rory, you know, seeing his dad and addressing that, especially him being older, because when he killed his dad, it was when he was much younger as a teenager. So it's kind of cool to get that little aspect of it, and all of the Gorilla Grodd stuff was kind of cool. I love the CGI that these shows have been putting forth. All right, Jamie, since you're the guest, you get an honorary favorite episode.
So I'm going to go with Supergirl, which probably isn't the popular pick. However, it brought some closure to me. Because I needed the closure between Supergirl and Mon-El. Like, I think that brought some closure to her. Because she's, even though she's kind of gotten better the last couple episodes of being sad and distraught over him, like, I think this is her seeing him moved on. We're done with this relationship. You know what? I'm going to go back to being the badass I was. I don't need a man. I'm Supergirl.
I don't need no man. That'd be good. I don't know if we got so much closure for them.
I do.
As much as you got closure, let me put it that way.
I feel like she's done with him. Oh, you're married? I'm done. With 7 years, you're done with, you're over me? Okay. You keep wearing my necklace, buddy. That's how I felt about it.
So. That was a little weird. All right, Chris, we're coming back to you for your news.
Well, I just used that great device called Google.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, Colton Haynes is returning to Arrow in season 6.
Did I call that? If I call this, I'm getting something for this.
You always want something.
What do you mean? I'm going to message him on Twitter. Hey, listen to this episode, or you know, at least these minutes of segments or whatever, and if it's right, you're calling in for an interview. I love Colton Haynes. Of course, you know, he was in Teen Wolf, and he's back at Arrow, and interesting. All right, well, anybody have anything else for the week?
Nope.
All right, guys, don't forget, next week is a holiday in its own. It is crossover week. 4 shows, 2 nights, Crisis on Earth X, all the shows come together. From the trailer, it's going to be badass. Iris and Barry potentially get married. Do they? We don't know. Nazis come into town from Earth X. Awesome. That's going to be fun because, you know, Nazis in America. Comments will be had next week. So don't forget, follow us on all of our social media. We are going to do a giveaway. I think we're going to do some, Chris, I think you're doing pops into the pile. I'm going to do some comics into the pile. We're going to have some fun with this. We're going to do giveaways. We're going to hammer out the details. We'll talk more about it on next week's episode. But we're going to send you this. All you're going to have to do is follow our social media, of course, and, you know, do whatever we tell you to do, because I guess that's going to be fun. All right, everybody. That is it for this week. Make sure you review and share us on iTunes, and we're going to keep you updated as other services we expand to, as always. Follow NerdWide on Twitter at nerd_wide, and you can follow me at Ty_Haynes and Mr. Rivers at MavTN7. Jamie does, of course, doesn't have a Twitter because she's lame and doesn't know how to use social media.
I have
media.
A Twitter. I'm just too embarrassed to say that I do because it's pretty lame.
It is.
Yeah.
As always, I'm your host, Tyler Haynes, with the man himself, Chris Rivers, and we cannot wait to share our thoughts with you next week for Crisis Week. Everybody, hope you had a great Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.